some service that the musicians would receive. I could just sit and listen to that good singing for the whole day. And just, the Lord just knows how to minister through singing, through songs, and those specials are really just how I feel this morning, you know. Amen. There's just some days where, you know, the battle is so tough and you're pressing so hard that, you know, you just be still and know that He's God. Amen.
Yeah.
And just trust Him. And so it's good to be with you today. Be in the house of the Lord. He's some brother probably with us. Amen. So let's just go ahead and open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll also read in Hebrews chapter 13. This is the scripture Brother Ram read in Shalom message. Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11. 11 through 14. This is the scripture Brother Branham read in the sermon called Going Beyond the Camp. Hebrews 13, verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Just want to pray for a moment. Lord, we just come to you this morning with joy in our hearts. Lord, knowing that you are the ultimate. Lord, that no matter what happens in this world, Lord, you are our hope and our stay. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity this morning. And we thank you for your people coming with expectations in their hearts and their desire to worship you and their desire to fellowship with one another. And so, Lord, we're just asking that you'd come down and just fill our presence this morning. Our efforts, Lord, are feeble, but, Lord, we give them to you and ask, God, that you would just move upon us, that you would anoint us, that you would just act out, say, and do everything that you would want this day in your people, Lord, that this little group would be edified. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this time in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can see that. I guess we'll title this Going Out to Christ. Really could say Going Beyond the Camp, but Going Out to Christ. We'll title that this morning. So, Paul here in the scripture we just read, he's actually referring to something that you'll find in Leviticus chapter 4. If you go to Leviticus chapter 4, you'll see in there where they talk about this, and that they would take a young bullock, and you know what a bullock is as a male, right? It's this young bullock without blemish, and he would be brought in, and they would kill him. We know this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, him being a male, and was no fault found in him, had no blemish upon him. And of course, he suffered for us, died for us. But they would bring this bullock in and kill him, and then take this blood of this bullock, and the high priest would sprinkle his blood seven times. Brother Ben talked to us about that and was saying, you know, that there are seven church ages, and all of those seven church ages needed the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them and to sanctify them. And so that blood, that priest, way back in the Old Testament, God knowing that he was going to have seven church ages that needed to be under the blood, he commanded it so that that priest would take that and he would sprinkle that blood seven times, one time for each of the seven church ages. That means one of those was for us.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
And so that blood was sprinkled for us. And so, but Paul is speaking here, and if you'll see this in Leviticus chapter 4, that the body of that beast, that body of that bullock that they had sprinkled the blood of, the body was carried outside, outside of the city, outside of the gate, was taken out there, and they would burn his body out there. And so Paul is saying, Jesus, that he might sanctify us with his blood, he suffered without the gate. He suffered outside of the city. And so Paul is making that comparison there, showing that Jesus suffered without the camp, that he might sanctify us. And I've said this before, and just to make sure that you're following the pathway that I'm wanting to share with you this morning. So when, especially back then, but you know, we have things that we don't like, we put those things out from us. Mm-hmm. How many have trash that you generate every week, and what do you do with it? Do you keep it? No, you want it away from you. You reject it, and you send it out, and it's taken out to the landfill, out in a faraway place where you don't have to deal with it, right? And so the idea here that this going without the gate, they would have a place where they would take and burn things and take their the dung hills and things like that, would take all those things that were rejected that you didn't want around, you'd shove off out there because you didn't want it near you, right? And so this concept here was what's there, that the people, they didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So he suffered without the gate, off out there. In other words, he was rejected.
Yeah.
They didn't want him, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the theme here, you know, that I want you to remember there, that when it's talking about in the camp, say in amongst that which is accepted, but things that aren't accepted, you put out away from you. And so Paul was speaking about that. And so this speaks of being rejected. And so that there is a rejection that has to take place. And the scripture is telling us here that basically it is required in order for sanctification to take place. You know, sanctification means cleaned up and set apart. So set apart, separated from something. And so this scripture here is telling us that Jesus, in order for us to be sanctified, in order for us to be separated, cleaned up, and set apart, he had to suffer without the gate. He had to be rejected.
That's right.
Right? He had to be rejected, and that's required. That rejection is required for sanctification process to work, so that he might sanctify us with his own blood. He had to be rejected. He had to suffer and be put out away from the common. Among all that's accepted. So he had to be put out there. And so you find out that if there is no separation, both with him, but also with us, if there's no separation, then there's no sanctification.
Right.
Right? In order to be sanctified, you have to be separated.
That's right.
From something, right? And so it's all one and the self same thing. So we realize in the scriptures, we are the called out. I think I hear just not too long ago, a title of sermon, the called out. But we are, the church means called out.
Amen.
And so we are called out, and we've heard before, you know, you're called out of, you have to come out, but you also have to go into, right? They were called out of Egypt, but had to go into the promised land. And we realize today we are under a message where the bride has been called.
That's right.
If nothing else, just come out of her, my people. Yeah. Right? We're called out. And so we know we have to come out. If you won't come out, you're not getting anywhere. But it's just as important that you have to go into it. We've heard that before, but what I want to throw in there this morning, just to capitalize on what I want to share, is yes, you must come out and you must go in, but you have to be careful what you go into.
Yeah.
You've got to go into the right thing. Doesn't do any good just to come out, but if you don't go into the right thing, you're still not where you need to be. And so we want to come out and go into, well, what are we coming out of and what are we going into? And what basically we're coming out and going into Christ, right? We're going into Christ, we're going to where he is and what he's doing, right? So we realize Paul is saying, he said, look, Jesus suffered without the gate, right? So now, therefore, let us go to him without the gate, go out there. So we have to leave this place which is accepted, this this thought process or this denominational mindset or this world that rejects Christ, we have to go out there to where he's at and to go to him, come out of the right thing, right? Come out and go into the right thing. And so that's what we must do. So Brother Graham says this, and I'm going to read. It's a rather lengthy quote, but I'm going to read it. And this is from the sermon Going Beyond the Camp. Brother Graham says, "I am fully persuaded that people are not getting to Christ." It's all reading. He says, as I look and I preach across the nation and I watch people, I am fully persuaded that people are not getting to Christ. And I believe that it's the enemy that's thrown this hindrance. Because the reason I believe this, Christ is not the object that they've been pointed to. They have either been pointed to a dogma or to a doctrine, a party, an experience, a sensation, or something like that, instead of being pointed to Christ, the Word. That's why I think people are resting their eternal destination on some dogma or some sensation. Like some say, I danced in the Spirit and I spoke with tongues and I felt fire run all over me. And Brother Graham says, and did you know that all of those things can be impersonated by the devil? There's just one thing that cannot be impersonated, and that's the Word. In the debate between he and Jesus, each time Jesus defeated him, it is written with the Word. And I believe today that the reason that the people are not coming to Christ is because they are pointed, many of them, to denominations. You come and join our church, or you read our catechism, or you believe our doctrine or some sort, system of some sort, and they are pointed in the wrong way. And their action and their life that they live without Christ proves it in their own life is a vindication of the very thing. For instance, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but back and forth across the nation, I have condemned women wearing short hair. That's the Bible. I've condemned women wearing shorts and using makeup. And every year it gets worse. And it shows that there's another finger pointing somewhere other, in some other way, and they're not getting through to Christ. And they say, well, we belong to a church. Our church don't. He said, it doesn't make any difference what your church believes. God said it's wrong. And if they did get through to Christ, they would stop that. That's what I want to get to. If they were truly get to Christ, they would stop that. And not only that, but men would take the position, if he gets through to Christ, and he'd be against that, and husbands would not let their wives act like that. Genuine men don't want their wives to act like that. And so the two things there I wanted to point out there is that they're being pointed to the wrong thing. Of course, if they're pointed to the wrong thing, the people are looking for the wrong thing. And so no doubt people are serious, want the Lord, they want Christ, but they've been pointed to the wrong thing. And so because they're looking for the wrong thing, and they've come to believe, well, in some denomination or some creed or something like that. And so they're not getting to Christ because they've been pointed to the wrong thing through denominations and so forth. And the proof of that is that their life doesn't change.
Right.
The proof of that is that they continue on doing things contrary to the Word. And so Brother Bram says, that shows it in itself, that proves that they're not getting to Christ, because if they did get to Christ, they would stop those things.
Right.
And so, and it's the same for us, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same for us. We know that. And so we read there in the scriptures about gross darkness. And in the Shalom message, Brother Brown talks about that there, this hour that we live in, is a darkness that has come upon the land, and gross darkness upon the people. Brother Ram said, you talk to people, and they're good people, and they want to do what's right, but there's this darkness that's pressing upon them and causing them. And so we're living in this hour where there's a great pressure come upon on all the people, and wants to come upon all the believers and so forth. A very dark hour, a great pressure that wants to come upon them and causes them to do these things. And then when you couple it to this, the people, you know, they're being pointed to the wrong thing. And so God has come along, obviously, with a message that we believe is pointing in the right direction. And if it's pointing in the right direction, if you get to that, it's truly going to change your life. And you won't be doing the things that you used to do. And you won't be doing things contrary to the word. And so, if you truly get to Christ, there is a true sanctification that takes place. There's a true something that happens.
Amen.
And you're different now.
Amen.
Right? You're different and you're changed.
Amen.
And so we realize that Paul is telling us here in this, showing us that we must come out from this worldly thing. We must come out of the camp of the world, and we must go into out there to where Christ is and go into the camp where he's at.
Amen.
Amen. And so, because what Christ is doing, he did out there. He suffered out there. He didn't suffer in here. He wasn't accepted. He was rejected. And so out there is where he is, and if we want the full blessing, we have to go out there. So full blessing means we have to come out from the world. We have to come out from the things that's not like God, the things that reject him, and go out there to the place where he is. And so, yeah, we're going to be rejected. We're going to bear his reproach.
Amen.
But Paul is telling us we must go therefore to him bearing that reproach. Because
yes.
That's part of the process.
Amen.
Amen. So it definitely is a day of great, great darkness, great trials, and so forth. But we're not any different than any other age is that we have to come out and go into. Even no matter what age we're in, even here in the bride message, if the whole world were message believers, there'd still be something we'd have to come out of to go into. There's still be something that is seems to be acceptable that's not a rejection to the world or people, and you realize the scripture said that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right. Right.
So you realize that if we live in a way where everything's fine and there's no struggle and there's no persecution, no rejection, then we're still in the camp of the world.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Because if the true sanctification takes place, we're going to move out, and there is a reproach that goes with that.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And so, even if the whole world were message believers, there would still be something that, even in the message, would be acceptable and kind of be the camp of the norm of everybody. But yet, because of the whole process, there is a something we have to come out of and go into something that may not be accepted and that is rejected. That is Christ. And so there's always that realm that we have to go to in obedience to follow the Holy Spirit and to be with Christ and have him working through us. There's always going to be something, a reproach to that.
Yeah.
No matter if the whole world believed the message, you'd still have to have that somehow. And I just, you know, I love this message, okay? I love it. But everything that goes on out here in message churches isn't right.
That's right.
Right? It's not exactly right. And so even in the message, there's things, there's a higher up we got to go. There's a somewhere we have to go to leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? And so we realize that. Coming out of, if nothing else, just coming out of tradition. Right? You can have traditions and they're fine. Maybe it's traditions that's not contrary to the word. But if all we do is serve God by tradition, it's wrong.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
It has to be by revelation.
Amen.
And we have, you know, I thank God that we have message and message homes, and children are brought up in the message. But listen, those children that's brought up in the message, they will not make it if they only serve God by tradition that was given to them because that's what they saw and that's what they were expecting to do. It doesn't work. They have to have a revelation. They have to have something where God pricks their heart and they move out into something that's following Christ, leaving other things behind that's accepted. It has to be that way. And so people can absolutely learn the message by intellect and obey it by intellect without revelation. Right? And if we do that, we're no different than the rest of the world out there.
That's right.
Rest of the denominational world. Because it requires a revelation. It requires a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, you know, the scripture talk about this, and I heard this the other day. You know, people can hold truth, but not have truth. Right? Romans chapter 1 talks about people who hold truth in unrighteousness. You can have all the intellectual, you can quote all the scriptures, quote the message, you know exactly how you should come to church and how you should pay your tithes and all the church order and all that, and all have all that just from a teaching, from an intellectual, I was brought up this way and this is the way it is.
Right.
And without revelation, it's no different than the rest of the world that's living by their creed, dogma, their ideas, their traditions. Many of their traditions are fine. Many of their traditions are not contrary to the Bible. Right? But we can't live for God by tradition.
Right.
We have to live God by a burning fire that's down in our heart that moves us.
Amen.
And it'll constantly move us into a place where we will suffer persecution. Always. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Didn't say maybe, might, once in a while, whatever. Because you realize darkness and light cannot have fellowship.
That's right.
Amen.
We live in the age called Laodicea, right? Mm-hmm. Where the anointing of the age is to make people think everything's okay. And they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And don't even realize that Jesus Christ is not in the system. He's been put out, right? You know, and it's a different analogy there where he's knocking, trying to get back into the church because he's been put out. And so people can hold truth, but not have it. And I'm not trying to do a play on words here, but I hope you understand. You can hold it by an intellectual thing or by tradition or whatever, but not have that truth down inside you living. Amen? Because when you have the living person of Jesus Christ, anything that comes along, you have the one with you who can guide you through whatever comes. You'll have trials and so forth. But if all you do is serve God by tradition, you're going to run into things that your tradition is not going to help you with.
Right.
You need the living life of Jesus Christ, the relationship in your walk to make the difference. And so people can know the message and have an intellectual learning and fit in just from an intellectual learning. But without the revelation, it's no different. Mm-hmm. And without the revelation, your actions will tell off on you. Your actions, right, will show up and show that you don't have revelation, that you're not following and you're not going out to that Christ.
Right.
That, you know, if you don't have that, you want to fit in. We want to fit in, right? We don't want to be, but you realize when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks you to do things and draws you in a direction that becomes a reproach to everyone else who's not following. Right? And so he's calling us out of this camp, right, into his camp, into a different camp. And I say that because Brother Ben refers to, you know, his camp or whatever. And so your actions will show. You know, if you have an animal, if you say you have an animal that wants to attack you, and you might knock that animal in the head or whatever, but if you don't kill him, if he's not dead and he begins to come around and begins to regather himself, he's going to go right back to the same nature he had before he was hit in the head.
Yeah.
Right? He will still, and that's the whole thing. If people don't really get a true birth, then that nature's still there.
Right?
And it's just a matter of time until it manifests itself. But when it's truly dead, when you truly have left the camp and gone out there where Jesus Christ is and sanctifying us and with his blood and we have a change, once that's happened, once something dead,
yep,
It don't come back to life. God's not going to resurrect your old nature. Once that thing is dead, he's not going to resurrect that. Right? And it won't come back if you truly get that experience.
Right.
So Brother Graham said people are being pointed to the wrong thing. They're pointed to creeds and dogmas and all this, and even in the message to tradition, and this is how we do things. But without a true birth, without a true born-again experience, that thing's still laying there, and it's just a matter of time until it rises up. He'll still go after Hollywood. He'll still laugh at jokes that he shouldn't and think about and say things and, you know, all the things I'm talking about. He'll still have that nature. If it's not dead, it'll come right back.
Yes, sir.
But if it's truly been crucified and slain, then it won't do it anymore. And so, people, they need to come to Christ. They've been pointed to a creed or a dogma or pointed to something else. And so now people are, they're, as we read in the quote, resting eternal destination upon a dogma. Well, if I have this dogma, or if I say this creed, or if I quote this particular thing, and if I carry the message book, and I have a eagle belt buckle, and if I come to a message church, then I got it. And it's all wrong.
Right?
It's all wrong. Those things are fine, right? It'd be fine to have an eagle belt buckle. We don't condemn that, but that's not it, see? And so there's just like denominations that they think that, and they're resting their eternal destination upon something that's been given to them that truly doesn't get them a new birth. It doesn't truly get them to Christ. It got them to a creed. It got them to a dogma. But it did not get them to Christ the Word, the only thing that Satan cannot imitate.
Right.
Just read it.
Right.
It doesn't. So no matter what we do, and we want you to come to church. We want you to be part of a group and fellowship and all that. But not without Christ.
Right.
You've got to come to that place where you truly have Him. And once you come to Him, then the power lays there to make that change, to crucify that old one, to cause you to be willing to come out of that camp and go out there and bear his reproach. So you can do that even in the message. You can, in the message, have all these things and not truly get to the place that you need to be. So we don't want to pretend. Listen. We'll bring this down real deep, a real deep furrow here. I believe that something in me changed. I believe that God has allowed me to see that revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe there are many of you that have the same thing. I believe that there are many of us here that if he crushes us, will still serve him.
Amen. Yes.
But I see evidence that says otherwise with some. Okay?
Yeah.
We don't want to pretend. Now, I'll just use this as an example with my family just so I can, to try and get the point across. But so, say, for instance, my wife or my children. It doesn't matter if they could look at me and say, I believe, my wife could say, I believe my husband has the revelation of Jesus Christ. He preaches this message. He listens to it. He talks about it. I believe he has that. And yet she could come into a place where she just goes through all the motions because I do. And yet she doesn't truly know that she's got that change herself. And you don't want to do that.
Right.
Don't pretend. Just because you're in this church and say, I'm going into rapture. Not if you don't have a revelation burning in your heart of this truth.
That's right.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel, probably all the time like this, but especially right now for some reason, just to caution everybody on this. See? Don't pretend. Don't just, Just be like the child, the guy walking through the graveyard whistling, trying to pretend like you're in the message when you know you don't have a revelation burning in your heart. Don't go another step, another day. If you can't say, like that woman said, she said, I ain't what I ought to be, and I ain't what I want to be, but praise God, I am not what I used to be.
Yes.
If you have not come to the place in your life where you know something in you that was worldly has died, and now what lives in your heart has no desire for those things, even if you make mistakes, even if your flesh still longs for things that's not right and you have to fight it continually. But if you don't know inside your heart something has actually died that was of this world, and now there's something else alive in me that wants Christ the Word. If you've not come to that place, stop pretending.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Stop pretending. Because it won't work in the hour of need. It will not. And so, I pray that there's not anyone like that. That everyone here knows that something's happened.
Amen.
Because the scripture says every man's got to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean just, you just back here, but our life, even as believers who do have revelation, there's a certain level of fear and trembling, of reverential respect, of desperation that should be in our lives every day. Something that just, we cry out and sigh and cry for the abominations that's done especially in the church, but even in the world.
Yeah.
Something in us that just can't rest because we see people who are trusting and believing in things that's not going to work for them. That's not the word. There should be something there burning like that continually in our lives. And so, you don't want to pretend. You don't just pretend that you've got it, but you got to know that something in you is different. That now there's something alive in you that wasn't once there. Amen. I'm not trying to talk about sensations. Brother Bram's saying that he we read it there, that some people, they're being preached and they know they need to come to Christ, but they're being pointed to something like a creed or a dogma, and they're not being pointed to the Word. And so they in Pentecost, they're taught to believe this, that you got to come to Christ and you're going to get to Him when you speak in tongues. And it's wrong.
Right.
You're going to get to Him when the hair stands up on the back of your neck. And it's wrong. Your hair might stand up on the back of your neck, right? That might happen. You might shout. You might speak in tongues. But all of that can be manufactured by the devil as a deception.
All right. Yes.
But we want to seek the thing in our life that only God can give us, the Word. Because Satan can't do that. Satan might inject your womb of your heart with all kinds of filth and nonsense, but there's one thing he cannot inject into your womb, and that is the Word of God.
Amen.
He cannot impregnate you with the Word. Only Christ Jesus can do that. But that's the thing. We've got to come to this place where we're looking at the right thing and trying to come to the right thing. And even in the message, I see it. I've had people say, oh, so-and-so got the Holy Ghost last night. Oh, really? How'd you know that? Well, they spoke in tongues. Totally contrary to truth. But in this message, there are people still think, oh, they got the Holy Ghost because they shouted. So did the Methodists, right? They shouted. Brother said, the heathen shout. Right? So we've got it. We want to come out, but we've got to go to the right thing.
Right.
And the right thing is the Word, and not some sensation and all this stuff, but the Word. Look for the living Word to come alive in you.
Amen.
Not just a shout, not just a joy, not just a good time, but something that comes alive in you that you know is this Word. Longing to live and express itself.
Amen.
That's there. That you don't have to get up and say, well, I'm a Christian. I need to start thinking about living the Word today. Not intellect. Right? But something that's there. That it's not you. It's not your thinking doing it, but there's something there that's living out and crying out. To put everything down and put your flesh down and to live this word, because it's there. And once you have that birth, Satan can never take it away from you. It's a revelation, right? Gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But we want to get to that place. And so even in the message, I think people, you know, their idea of what they come to, and so many times it doesn't bring them to a new birth. It doesn't bring them to that thing that we're talking about. It doesn't really truly get them out from the camp of the world. And the proof is that because their life, they eventually go back. Basically,
yes.
You know, if it's not really alive, you know, if it's any of the intellectual thing, then Satan's going to come along with some temptation that's going to pull you back away from those things. Mm-hmm. But you'll never get the Holy Spirit to feed on worldly things.
Right.
Right? Even believers who do have an experience realize that's something in them's got to be fed and it has to be nurtured and you have to give it preeminence. And if you don't do that, your flesh will start trying to take over. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what a Christian's job is to fight, watch, pray, keep that flesh under and give that experience in there that's longing out. Make it number one. Amen. And we know that's what a true Christian's life is like. So we don't want to just hope. We want to know that there's something there, and that we're not, that we can say, because we all have to say this, I'm not where I want to be in the Lord. Right? I'm not where I ought to be in the Lord. Am I the only one that can say that? But praise God, I am not what I used to be.
Amen.
And if you can say that, you're on a good road. Keep pressing on.
Amen.
Amen. But if you don't know that, then I'm here to tell you, you're pretending.
Amen.
Don't just be part of this church by pretending. You be part of this body of Christ by a real, genuine birth. Because the scripture said you cannot call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Right? We say Lord, hey Lord, you know, look. But you can't do that unless you've got an experience of the Holy Ghost in your life.
Right.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. So, Brother Bam tells us where there are many camps in the world. The world has their camps and the churches have their camps. And I was thinking about this last night and then I realized, well, here it is hunting season and camping time and we're talking about camping. talking about camping even from the pulpit. But there are camps in the world and there's camps of churches and all that. But you see, there's all kinds of camps. Everybody's got their clique, right? Everybody's got the thing that they like. I use it quite often about, you know, these Bible bikers. And they look like the Hell's Angels to me, wearing all that garb and stuff. And I'm not criticizing them, but if you look at them, they're just, you know, some of them's not even nominal Christians.
Yeah.
But they have their camp. Oh, you know, you're part of us, and man, we're doing it. We're doing it for Christ. And everybody's got their idea, and everybody's got their camp and what they think things ought to be.
Yeah.
But the camp the bride wants to be in is the one Christ is in. And she'll go beyond all of these other camps to get to his.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She'll leave all of these camps because the Holy Spirit will lead her away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Can you imagine Brother Branham pulling up with a motorcycle with his all that leather and all that stuff, that image and that anointing that goes with all that. You can imagine that? See, that's not the imagery that God is presenting. The image he's presenting is the Word, the living Word, amen, that the world has rejected. Your flesh rejects. But there's something inside you that would long for it. And so we have many of those things, but many camps in the world, but the bride goes beyond those camps out to where Christ is. Amen. We live in this age where everything is going beyond. Brother Graham talked about this, super that, super something else. And now it's extreme, extreme this, extreme that. Just, you know, we like the GoPro cameras, right? Because not until our day can you watch what it looks like to see a skier going up and flipping off of a mountain like that and landing. But now we can see it through his eyes, right? It's extreme. The amount of technology and information and exposure that we have of the world is extreme now. It's super, mega, everything, right? Because everything is, it won't stay at some norm. Everything pushes to a higher envelope, beyond further, beyond further. We realize that. Everything is streaming. And it's just like what I've always said about television. You know, nobody wants to sit down and watch a program where the people are doing the same thing you do every day. That's not going to capture your... So a program has to be something that's exciting, something that you wish you could do, or you'd like to do, or maybe you wouldn't want to do it, but you want to see somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? In order to sell it, it has to have a pull. So they have to feature things beyond what you're like. Am I right?
Right.
So, but once you become exposed to that, it's natural. It's just some natural things that takes place. Then that becomes normal. That becomes normalized. And after a while, that no longer gets your attention. Now that's normal. So now programming has to step it up a little bit more. Become more extreme, and then you become sensitized to that.
Right?
And so that's we're made that way. And God made us that way. Okay? And so we have this thing, and I'm not trying to be an expert on this. I'm not. I'm just telling you my thoughts on the matter. Okay? And so, but this attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
Right? And you give kids all these video games and stuff, and it's all, you know, and then you tell them, now you come and sit in church and you be quiet and you be still. Or now you come and you sit in the classroom and you be still and you be quiet and you listen to the teacher. It won't work. And you know why? Because they've been exposed to beyond. They've been exposed beyond. And that's becoming the normal. And they won't be satisfied even with that. It has to continually. And so Satan uses this, right? But God does too, because he made us this way. Satan used that, and so they constantly have to go on and on and on. And now they can't sit still. And everybody, they're all just... And now they want to give them drugs to sedate them.
Yeah.
And the problem started way back here. And I realize we live in a world. How are you going to do it? How are you going to raise your kids and this not happen? I realize it's Satan's Eden,
right?
Because everything's going beyond. They're going beyond the normal camp of what it was in the 50s. Just like Brother Rem said, listen, if my grandmother went out on the street the way they did in his day, he said they'd be locked up. But they had went beyond.
Yeah.
Now they've come beyond.
Yeah.
And we've come beyond. In the political realm, in the lying, in the cheating, in the out in the open, everything's beyond, 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 and become the norm and accepted.
Right.
Because that's our nature, to become accepted. And to accept what's going on. But you see, it just has to keep pushing that envelope. And that envelope is leading people in a bad place. Right? It is. And so, I think that's what's going on with ADD. Right? You just did not ever hear about people having a gluten intolerance or a milk intolerance. But even when I was a kid, you never heard about all that. But we have it now because of what's happened. Because of the foods and the things. And so people have all these intolerances. Brother Brown told us that these things was breaking us down. And this was what was happening. And so we live in this age where everything's going beyond. And once you go beyond, there's no coming back. And I'll just say this, that once the bride of Jesus Christ goes beyond this camp of the world, beyond this camp of tradition, beyond this camp of just being in church because they were raised to do it this way,
right,
once they go beyond that into the Word,
yeah,
there's no coming back.
That's right.
There's no coming back. Mm-hmm. Brother Bam told us we're in the astronaut age. Mm-hmm. Talking about the horse and buggy. All they can do is go up and down the road, up down this way. Right? Automobile can do it a little faster. Talking about now, went into the airplane age. Could actually get up off the ground, but have to come back.
Yeah.
But the astronaut does not have to come back. And all these things, the scientific advancements, I mean, people just stop and look at what's going on. Look at human nature and how they're capitalizing on that to lead them to Armageddon. To lead them in the direction of a fallen. But look at how God can use the same thing to lead us and guide us. And so God can present to us. And that's the way we are. We want higher revelation. We want higher revelation. We want a closer walk. We want, why? We have something that wants to go beyond. So we're to go beyond this thing. Beyond what our previous experience has been. Even in the Lord, good things. But we want more of Christ. Right? Higher revelation. A deeper understanding spiritually of the things of God. A greater level of obedience. A greater level of trust. We want all those things. Because that's what's working in us. But don't let Satan cover that and feed it with something else. As I've said so many times, my grandma, you know, I'd want a snack at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She'd say, you don't need no snack because if you eat that right now, you're going to ruin your supper. And there were a few times I had a snack, and guess what? When supper time rolled around, I wasn't hungry.
Right.
She knew what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And if you feed on the wrong things, you feed on other stuff,
right,
you won't be hungry.
That's right.
When it comes time for church, you'll want to do something else.
Right.
When it comes time to read your Bible or pray or whatever, you'll want to do something else.
Right.
Because you're feeding on other things.
Yes.
But once you learn that process that we are going beyond, we are going higher in this realm of the Word of God, higher and higher and higher, then that's what needs to be taking place in your life. Amen? Because if it's not that, then it's higher, higher, higher in other things. And your appetite is being quenched. Amen. And so, Brother Bram said, you know, we have to change camps. And I'll say it this way. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but I'll say it in my own terms here. But if we want to go in rapture, we've got to be in rapture camp.
That's right.
If you want to go into rapture, you've got to be in that realm where that's the thing that's circulating and going on. Mm-hmm. Right? If you want to be have the peace of God ruling in your heart with obedience and all that, then that's the camp you've got to be to, and you can't go back and forth from camp to camp.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. Got to keep moving on, keep pressing on. Brother Bram said in this sermon, he said, 3,000 years ago, almost anybody, just most everybody out there could meet with God. About 3,000 years ago. Right? But not now. He said, why not? There's more people now. Ought to be more people meeting with God, but they don't. And the reason is because the camp of man, the man's camp has drifted so far from God that people don't even know. They don't even have a desire. And when they do have a desire, they get pointed to the wrong thing. But God has visited us in this day so that we have that desire to meet God, and we can actually meet God. Because this word is pointing us to the right direction. To not a creed, a dogma, sensation, something Satan can put over on you, but into the realm of something that only God can do. And I've said this many, many times before. Remember, third pull, there's no public showing, right? Third pull has to do with creative spoken word, which Satan can't do. Amen? And so God, this message is moving us into the camp, into the realm where all things are possible because of the word. And so I'll end by saying this, saints, there has to be a reason why God has brought you to this message. Giving you exposure to it, right? Like I said, some of you, the message lives in you. But some of you have probably only come to the message, but it's not living in you yet. You're doing it by tradition because you were expected to, or whatever, right? You want to come to the place where you know it's alive in you. And so there has to be a reason why you have been exposed to this message of this hour. Because there are millions and billions out there who haven't.
Right.
The word that God came here to this earth with in this day to pull us out of all these things, to give us a body change, to make us one with Christ, you have come in contact with that word.
Amen.
And there has to be a reason why. God would, with all his infinite wisdom and understanding, no limit to it, that he saw fit to bring this word across your pathway. And if you say, God, why did you do that? I don't think we would have to ask that question. We know why he did that. Because he wants you to be partakers of that. Amen? And so, don't want to just pretend. But stay before the Lord until you know something in you dies. Something in the world that dies, and it's replaced with something that loves this word and longs to be in his presence. Something that's making you alive in this word. Something that's different than this world. And so we want to, as Paul said, he said, let us go therefore to him, bearing his reproach. He's Paul saying, get out of the camp of the world. Get out of this camp of everything else that's not Christ and go right out there to where he is, what he's doing, where he's sanctifying, where he's with his creative power doing all that. Go out there to him. And Paul says, let us go to him because here we have no continuing city.
Right.
Right? This camp, it's not going to stay. And we know it's not. This camp is not going to stay. And I know it's not. Right? And Paul is saying, leave this guy. Leave the mentality. Leave the flesh desires. Leave the worldly things. And go out here to where Christ is. Because this one's not going to continue. But we as Christians, we're seeking one that is, just like Abraham was, right? We seek a city whose builder and maker is God. We're seeking one that will continue, and it's out there where Christ is. So we have to leave this camp and go beyond this camp, beyond the gate, out to where he's at. And real Christians do that. A real born-again Christian is not seeking some great stance here, but seeking one to come, seeking that that comes from Christ alone. And so, I'll end by saying this, that back to Isaiah chapter 60, where Brother Ram talks about it, said, all this darkness upon the people, and it's just gross darkness, and it's the whole world, and they just can't seem to break through it. Right? That's what he said. And you know, and it seems strange, but listen, this is a prophet that knows what he's talking about. Right? And he knows, he says, and it's true, we can see the darkness is just thick. But at the same time, Brother Brennan's saying, yeah, this is the case. This is the case in the world and people like that. But he said, but to you, it's shalom.
Right.
But to the believer, it's not gross darkness. Look at the difference in what the world wants and what they feed on and what we as true believers want. Right? You can see the difference. But he's saying, all this is like that. But to us, to the believer, to the Christian, it's good morning. It's shalom. It's peace. Yumal and Raha. See? It's peace. It's good morning. Because even though the world is in gross darkness, but to the people of God, the message has come. And he read this scripture, and this is what I'm wanting to say. See? The scripture said, arise. There's gross darkness on the people, but to you, arise. Arise. Because the glory of the Lord is upon you.
Where is his glory now? Where is it?
The prophet's telling us that this message, Christ has come and his glory has risen upon his people, and they're not in gross darkness. They're not bound down. They're not held back where they can't become overcomers. They do become overcomers because they're his people. And so in this hour of great darkness, God is telling us, and through this prophet said, arise and shine. Because the glory of God is on you now. It's not making you something that's not trying to, but if God says, look, I'm going to shine on these people, then who's going to tell them they can't? He can't, right? Then his glory is now risen upon you. And this is your day. This is the hour that you'll overcome. Not another hour. This is it. When this move fades out, there will be no overcoming for Gentiles. Right? This is it. This is our chance for the glory of God. It's shining upon us through this message. This is our chance to rise and shine. And I think that means more than just having a testimony, but to rise and shine, that the glory of God is now emanating from us. Why? Because we're one with him. As if you've embraced the message truly, totally. If he's alive within you, then now that glory shines. It's risen upon you. That all heaven and earth and all the people and all the angels have to look and say, there is the glory of God upon those people. Yeah. Right? That's the kind of message God has given us in this day. This is our day. And no wonder Satan hammers us with trials and waves of troubles and things coming that you just seems like you can't crest them. Another wave, and you're like, this one's going to get me. But you make it through it. Right? Program said the stabilizers have been put on the ship, right?
Yep.
Why do you put stabilizers on a ship? Because you know it's going to be rough times.
That's right.
But these rough times come, and Brother Bam talks about it. He said, you see that nothing? And we'll crest them, everyone. We'll make it past every wave that comes. Sister, right now, we're choosing to believe. When all these things are coming, Brother Tim, with his situation, the different things that Brother Daniel was mentioning, this, with all those things coming right now, we choose to believe.
Amen.
Even if he decides to crush us, we choose to believe because he's right.
Amen.
He's right and he's never wrong, never will be wrong. And whatever he does in my life or your life is correct.
Amen.
And that's what we want.
Amen.
So we put out, we take his promises, we pray them back to him, we minister back to him these truths that he's given us, the promises we have, and we have troubles, we have healings we need and so forth, and we know the promises are there, and we're giving those back to him in prayer and saying, Lord, it's your word. And even if he doesn't do it, we still love him and surrender to him because he knows what's right.
Amen.
Because we'll look back someday. I was listening to those words this morning. We'll look back and say, you know what? Every pain had a reason. Right? And his plan has been perfect all along.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's where it is. We want to leave this camp and always press higher going to where Christ is.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's where he is. That's where what he's doing. You know, like Brother Ben said with John, come up hither, John. Come up hither, because I'm no longer working down there in those church ages anymore. Come up here where I'm opening the seals, where I'm performing redemption. Come up here where that book that you couldn't touch, even look upon at one time, now you can handle and you can eat it and live it. Come up here. And that's the message that we have in our day. And so, may the Lord richly bless you.
Amen.
And let the musicians come. You just bow your hearts to the Lord right now. Even musicians, I know you have to come to your post of duty, but don't let this keep you from bowing your hearts to the Lord just for this moment, based upon what you've heard. And if you know this word has spoke to you. You know, there's been, I know this happened because I've been this way myself, is that, you know, you come in and God speaks to your heart and you know you should do something about it, but as soon as you go out the door, it just kind of goes from you. You've got to lock it down. Brother Rem says you got to set that nail, you got to clench it, right, to keep it from coming out. And each one of you, what you've heard this morning, you know that you do that in your life. You nail it down between you and God right here, right now. And say, Lord, what I've heard this morning, you put a finger on my life. And don't pretend. Don't look for sensations, look for whatever, all these different, just you and the Lord, just sincerely, without any pretense, just be honest and say, Lord, I've messed up so many times. I'm ashamed, Lord, of how I have not taken advantage of every hour that I could have with this gospel. You know, just be honest to him and talk to him and say, Lord, I need help here because this message is perfect. At least I know that much. And God, I want this message to live in me. And so you just talk to him honestly, sincerely, because if you can't be honest with God, you won't be honest with yourself. You won't be honest with yourself. You won't be honest with God. But lay these things sincerely before him because the clock is ticking and things are moving. And you don't want to be found weighed in the balance. Amen. I believe we have a message that can make sure that you're not weighed in the balance. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to this portion of your service, Lord, I have shared what you put on my heart. And I've tried to deliver it the best I know how, Lord. And so now I'm giving it to you, Lord, the great Holy Spirit, into the hearts of your people. Lord God, that you would move in and out of every door of their heart. May they open every door now and not hold back in any way, in any form or fashion, Lord, but surrender all. And Lord, I want to do the same thing now, Lord. And so let you have free reign in my house. And I'll just open up and let you come in. And you do what you want. You do what you want. I know that what you'll do in my life is perfect and it's complementary to your will, to your perfect work. Lord, I pray that you just would move upon each one, Lord, that they would drive that stake in the ground right now and not leave until they know for sure that they've come on that sacred ground with you. May they wrestle with you like Jacob wrestled until maybe perhaps like you would touch his thigh. And from that point on, he walked different. Maybe that's what has to happen today, but we pray, God, that you would do that now. May they wrestle with you and say, I'll not let you go. And though, God, I know that there's something that takes place in my heart that makes me different. And I'll not pretend any longer, but I'll give it to you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Seated on the throne of grace.
This is worship of the Lord. The older you get, the more you realize that.
Yeah.
You know, this Bible that I have right here on the front of it, it says, William E. Dandridge was my dad. And I preach every Sunday morning out of this Bible because I plan to meet him on that other side. He had no continuing city here. COVID took care of that. I have no continuing city here. You have no continuing city here. But we're all going to that other side. We're all going. We're leaving this place one day. Amen. Let us put all of our confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. The whole world says they do. They sing songs by the millions out there. But Christ the Word is outside knocking. But let it not be that way with us. Let it not be that way with you. You open the door of your heart and let him in. But just remember, he's beyond. He might cause tongues. He might cause shouting. All those things, we know he does. We appreciate that. But to receive him in is to receive the word. The one thing that Satan cannot imitate. That's living inside you. And you don't have to worry about when your time comes. You'll meet your loved ones. Amen. It's already gone on if they're on their way. May the Lord bless you. We'll send this again.